Yes, I know. Yeah, I forgot to tell him. I'm gonna tell him now. I just forgot. I'm sorry. Yeah. There is a conference. There's a conference coming up in May in Birmingham, Alabama, where they love the governor. I'm going to tell you all about it here. And after several moments pass, this was my order this morning on the Zendercam. I got some Dunkin' Donuts coffee. They actually have a coffee shop here at the college. You can see my order is 578. And I trust that you know what this number means in Scripture. Do you know what this number means in Scripture, 578? I don't either. I think it's totally insignificant, except the fact that it contains a caffeinated beverage. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Tuesday. This is Martin Zender. Happy to be your host through the book of Daniel into the book of Revelation. Remember, this is a run-up to Revelation, We're learning secrets in the book of Daniel that's going to help us survive an era when government is supposed to fail. Doesn't mean we have to fail. Doesn't mean we have to go along with the failure. I mean, yes, we suffer along with the failure, but we're in a bubble. We're bubble people. I'm dead serious. Because we have that Christ consciousness, the God consciousness. If God is for you, who can be against you? I live with this every day. This isn't theoretical. If you're reading this verse in your scriptures, God, if God is for us, who can be against us? And you're thinking it's some kind of theory. It's not. But Martin, they come against me and they hurt me. I know it hurts. I know that. But then God is the great alchemist, and he turns all these evil things meant to be against you and turns them to good. You remember Joseph? You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. That's what he said to his brothers, his 11 brothers who sold him to the Ishmaelites. Now, if you're going to be sold to anybody, you don't want to be sold to the Ishmaelites, descendants of Ishmael. Please. And yet off he went, and 27 years he suffered, and then he took the throne. This is all a type of Christ, all a type of government. But we need to look at Joseph if we're going to talk about government and secrets in Daniel. I know Joseph is in Genesis, but hey, it applies because he was a governor. He was a distributor. He was an enterprising person. Yes, he was a capitalist. He was smart. He managed the food stores in Egypt. And God sustained his people. Now, that was a physical token, since Joseph is an Israelite. It's a physical token of the physical blessings that God is going to bring to Israel. Whenever you think of Israel, you need to think physical. You need to think earth. You need to think bread. You need to think plenty. You need to think the oil and the lamp. The Spirit of God is going to cover the earth as the water covers the sea. That's them. Okay, but listen, we got something even better. Because we have spiritual blessings, and our government in the heavens, although it is still going to be a political entity. Yeah, there are politics in heaven. Yeah. Even so, it's going to be just awash in the Spirit, and we're anticipating it now. And our blessings, as contrasted with Israel, are spiritual rather than physical. Not that we won't have physical bodies, but the emphasis is on spiritual revelation and understanding. Back to the God bubble. This understanding, then, it cushions us from the hammer shots that we experience by watching the news. By merely living in this life, the God consciousness, this is working together for good. God's turning it toward good. Just like Joseph said to his brothers when they were trembling, you meant it for evil, God meant it for good. So God did that in a primitive day, back in Genesis. How much more today, when we have this evangel of grace and all these direct promises, not allegories, not metaphors, God is speaking plainly to us now in the scriptures. That all things work together for the good of those who are loving God, called according to his purpose. And if God be for you, who can be against you? So everything seemingly bad that comes against us is turned into good. So how can we lose? Because watch this. Watch this. As I drink coffee number 578. All right. Something good happens to you. What's not to like? Okay? It's a good thing. So the good thing happened and you're happy. You get a raise at work. You get an extra French fry that you find at the bottom of the McDonald's bag. You thought you had eaten all the French fries and you're so depressed that the French fries are gone. Then you look and there's a grace fry. That's what I call it. The grace fry at the bottom of the bag. That's a good thing. But now an evil happens to you. You get in a car wreck. Bad news about your son. Your daughter married a jerk. Something like that. Now, we have the promise that God is going to turn that into good. Even though the people perpetrating these things mean it for evil, God means it for good. So how can you lose? You can't. You can't lose. And I want you to be aware of that as we work our way through this evil government. Now, let's get a start on how we're to behave. Now, as you know, Israel was taken into exile. Actually, it was the house of Judah in Jerusalem, taken into exile to Babylon. A prophet during that time was Nebuchadnezzar. Oh my gosh, wait a second. I didn't tell you anything about the conference. I'm getting ahead of myself. I told you about a conference and I forgot to give you any details concerning it. All right, listen to this. Mark these dates, please. May 17th and 18th. Now, you may be listening to this in the year 2021. God forbid we're all still on this planet on 2021. It's 2014, I believe, as I speak to you. May 17th and 18th, 2014, there's going to be a conference in Birmingham, Alabama. Yes, where they love the governor. I'm going to be a speaker there. So is Dan Sheridan, and so is Clyde Pilkington. You get Sheridan, you get Zender, you get Pilkington. We're going to bring you the Word of God. We're broken vessels. We're going to dispense grace to you because we've been shown grace. We're idiots. We're unwise, weak, ignoble, and stupid, and yet God has chosen us to bring this truth. You're also going to get a couple more unwise, weak, ignoble, and stupid people, but they're not as unwise, weak, ignoble, and stupid as us. Waylon Dabbs, Alan Hess. Alan Hess is the pastor of the Potter's House Fellowship in Faith, North Carolina. He's going to be teaching possibly Steve Hill. I'm not sure about if Steve's going to be teaching or not, but I'm sure he's going to be there. No, I'm not. I'm not sure, but I think he's going to be there. The contact here is Laura Johnston. Call Laura Johnston and let her know that you're going to come to the conference in Birmingham, Alabama. This is going to be a good one. It's going to be a good conference. Lots of speakers, lots of truth. We're going to hit it on Saturday and Sunday. That's May 17th and 18th. Call Laura Johnston at 205-335-8342. Is that a 5 or a 7? Oh, man, I can't read my own thing here. Hang on a second. I'm pretty sure that is a 7. Let me see if I still have this up on my phone. Yeah, here's Laura's number, 205-337-8342. Let her know you're coming to the conference, RSVP. Now, there was a prophet in Jerusalem in those days of the exile, and it was Jeremiah. And he wrote a letter to the exiles. I think he stayed behind. Some of the people stayed behind. The stubborn ones, God told them to go. See, God told him to go into exile. The analogy I'm drawing, I never want to lose the present application for you here. And the present application is we're in exile. We're not only in exile, I feel I'm in double exile. My realm's inherent in the heavens. I don't even belong on this planet. Sometimes I wonder what I'm doing here. I'm an expatriate. I'm so out of place. I'm a celestial man. I love to fly in aeroplanes because I feel more at home in the air. I don't like to plant things. I dislike gardens. I never liked scooping up my dog's poop when I was a kid because it was earth upon earth and it was disgusting. And so anything that has to do with the earth, I don't like. I never liked mowing the grass. I always wondered about that. Why do I hate this so much? Because it's earth. It's terrestrial. I'm a celestial person. I'm not going to be mowing the stars or the nebula or anything of that nature. So I'm very happy to be a celestial being. And I find that those who are bent toward the Israelite message, they do kind of like earthly things. You know, I'm not saying that members of the body of Christ don't plant gardens or don't pick up their dog's poop or they don't mow the grass. I'm just saying that, you know, it goes against their grain. So, what? Yeah, you're right. I really can't explain how I like the ocean here in Florida. Let me think about this. Why is it that I like the ocean? Now, this is actually, thanks for bringing that up. You just disrupted my whole show for one thing. This is kind of troubling to me because, as you know, in the New Earth, eon number 5, there's going to be no sea. And people have told me, I feel sorry for the dolphins. Because they're not going to have any home. The sea is going to be gone and all the starfish and the groupers and the man-o-wars and the dolphins and the porpoises and all the little silverfish and the manatees, they're all going to be without a home. Not true. Not true, ladies and gentlemen. Let me bring you comfort concerning the sea creatures. They are going to be able to survive. They're not going to need the sea anymore. Just like someday we're not going to be needing the air, the oxygen anymore. We'll have new bodies that will be able to process space dust or whatever. Well, these sea creatures, starfish, barracudas, these beings will live again. Because as I told you in a Crack of Dawn report last year, your pets are saved. All animals are saved because they have souls, because they roam. And even those roamers of the sea are saved, will live with God for eternity. You're assuming that they're going to be in the same shape, condition that they are now, as if there's going to be a big blob of a manatee up there or a hippopotamus. You know, and then we see some creatures who can survive in the sea or in the land. Hippopotami. Ducks. I always wanted to be a duck because they swim, they fly, and they walk. That's me. But I love the sea, but, you know, I'm going to get over it. Let's just put it that way. I am going to get over it. The sea pictures for you. I'll close this way. Tomorrow we'll get to Jeremiah's letter. I'll close this way. The sea is a picture of the turmoil. The reason there's a sea right now is because it pictures the turmoil of humanity, the turmoil of government, the transitions of powers, none of them which are permanent. Nothing here is permanent. You should be happy about that. The long lines at the grocery store and you pull up to the gas pumps and you can't find a space, for the love of God. Nothing is permanent. Nothing. None of this chaos. None of these CFs. If you don't know what that means, look it up in the slang dictionary. None of this stuff is permanent. And this is pictured by the sea, which crashes into the shore. When there's no sea, it means that we're looking forward to a day when there's permanence. There's something solid. And that includes the government. The government in the 1,000 years is going to be permanent for 1,000 years. There's also a government on the new earth. Israel reigns as kings. That's permanent until the day it's not. Does that make sense? I hope so, because I make sense for a living.